Wait a minute,
turn on the radio.
My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though.
I hope
you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves. He talking Scott Catoon. Wait a minute, turn on the radio.
Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm Scott Catoon, as that lovely song will tell you. And this is Technori Live from the WGN Radio in downtown Chicago, where Chicago's tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me already is, you might have known him, he picked up for me one of the days that I was gone, as well as if you're a fan of the feed, Sean Frelick. Welcome.
What up, dog? Thanks for having me.
What up, dog? Oh, my goodness. If you could see this guy's face as he says, like, what up, dog? So thank you for coming on a Saturday. I mean, it's pretty gorgeous outside, so it's obviously, I'm sure you'd like to be doing something else maybe, but...
No, I want to be here. I want to talk about the future of media with you.
There you go. I mean, it's sunny out. It's only an hour. The show's only an hour.
Right.
We got people in the window here. It's a good time. So it's a good place to be. We've got a cool show. We're mixing it up, having you co-host the entire show, which I thought would be kind of fun. I also think that, we've got a lot of topics we're going to bounce around with. Amy, who preceded the show, kind of talked about a little bit, and that is the center, that the capital of women in tech is Chicago. And Compass report just came out with this, saying that 30% of all of the startups in Chicago are founded by females, and that number is going up. That was sort of like a round down figure, which puts us ahead of Boston and puts us ahead of San Francisco, which is insane.
Really cool stuff. It was a surprise to me. 30% is still a low number, but as we know, in regards to the issue with women in tech, there is a long way to go.
Yeah.
So it's cool that Chicago, kind of upholding its progressive status, is leading the country in that regard.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I also think it's a good time, as Amy mentioned, of all of the sexual harassment stuff that has been going on, particularly in the VC world. And, you know, honestly, this is kind of the sad part about this. And we've had this conversation. I definitely don't want to really get into this, but when you talk to race relations, you talk about the way that, you know, people are mistreated or not given an opportunity. And then something horrific happens and all of our focus goes to that really horrific thing. And we stop having a decent conversation about the real causes. We just like focus zero in on this one bad thing. I think that's kind of, unfortunately, one of the negatives to this, to the allegations of sexual misconduct by VCs, is that obviously it's horrendous and it needs to stop, and that's an obvious thing. But it takes us away from the part where the real conversation for years has been that female founders, even if they have a great idea and a great background and great everything, are just not given money. Like, it's just, they're just not funded, because whether it's a boys club or whatever the deal. And I think that is the one thing that only... And, you know, I think only a community of people can make a change. And Chicago has chosen to take the route, not that it's done or anywhere near where it should be. We have taken a step where you find these female founders who basically said, you know what? Screw this. I'm not going to wait around for you. I'm going to launch my own company and I'm going to come to Chicago and I'm going to do it. And many, many, many of the backers, including Hyde Park Angels and Lightbank and a few others, have gotten involved in putting money in female-led companies. And now you see Chicago rapidly take the lead as one of the most inclusive tech cities in the world, and that is something to be proud of.
Booyah. Yeah, that is super cool. I've met countless women founders here in the city who I've known from a entertainment media standpoint, Chicago has this reputation of, like, do what you want to do, people. Like, there isn't a whole lot of pressure. There isn't as many eyes on you as if you were in LA or Chicago, or sorry, LA or New York. So it seems to me that story holds true in the tech world, where it's, you got this freedom to move around. And I'm glad to see, for the most part, in the case with bringing women more to the forefront and giving them the space, Chicago is leading the way.
Yes. And we have to give a quick shout out to Bob Coyne, who just said, great show, dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Via text, WGN Zone, Bob Coyne, thank you. to continue this conversation, one of the main things that has been a huge, I think, I don't want to say just a supporter. It's more than that. It's been a major spark for what we do here is all the female organizations. Oh, and Women Tech Founders being one of them, Miss Tech, Nicole Yearly, who's done some amazing work, and Women 2.0, who we had those from San Francisco. We had here Shaha Rose as a keynote at one of our events. But one of the ones that had been around before and disappeared for a little while, and now they're back, and they're here to visit us in studio after the break, is Women Who Code. They were here a while ago. They kind of disappeared and are now under new management. They've got new sponsor support. They're going to be kicking off educational series, networking events, et cetera, et cetera. And the a couple of the directors, like I said, Samia, who's going to be in here to talk. The other one's Ann Young, who you met at the Women in Tech and Men as Allies event for Capital One.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was on our show talking about Women in Tech and Capital One's Men as Allies program, which, again, also has a lot to do with the success the city has, because these are big corporations who are headquartered or office here, and they're also getting involved in the Women in Tech initiative, which means that it doesn't just come down to a couple of startups. It actually comes down to the leaders of large organizations who may fund startups, they may hire people, they may, you know, they may get disrupted by them, are also kind of taking part in this whole thing.
Nice.
So yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. but of course, we have to also talk about a few other things. So after that, we're going to take our break for the news, and then we're going to have Sean and I kind of talk a little bit about the future of media, which is a little scary for some, a little exciting for others.
Might hit a close to home as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there could definitely be some close to home conversation. We're going to keep it cool and civil.
Yeah.
But I just think it's an important one, because we came off of our Technori event where the amount of feedback that I've gotten has been insane.
I love that show.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
The best Technori showcase I've seen.
Without question. And we've got a lot of feedback about it. So I'm excited to kind of dive in with you. We'll get into you. I think you gave your background and story of how you've been associated with Technori when you were on our show, when you hosted for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to go back into that, but we will talk a little bit more about that. And then, of course, I also have to talk about two other things. Incubate Illinois, which is we're going to get into after the break here. But Incubate Illinois is an event that is being, it's a conference. It's a second annual conference. It's being hosted next Wednesday, and I'll be one of the two keynotes for the event. So after the after we come back after the half, we'll talk a little bit more about what Incubate Illinois is, and of course the feed.
Yeah, man. We're going to talk about some global tech news that relates to America. My little tease here is that a major tech leader over in China was casting some major shade on America, but he has some good advice. So you should stick around till the end of the show to hear some more about that.
You don't want to miss it, because the end of the show is going to be live version of the feed, which is just,
it's beautiful.
Let me tell you, if you can go to WGNRadio.com, you can actually watch live and you get to see Sean actually read the feed live, which is an experience unlike anything else.
Yeah. You know, thanks for the lead. I hope people enjoy it.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
And last but not least for this, before we go to break, I have to say, we're going to unveil something I've been working on for a little while here.
Yes.
Ready? He's getting, here we go. The Technori showcase for this month. You may have noticed that Tuesday, which happened to be 4th of July, no email went out. I didn't send an email saying to everybody, hey, Technori showcase, this is Technori pitch, this is going to be what it's going to be. And the reason was,
you're throwing back some cold ones.
I was definitely throwing back some cold ones. That was probably the biggest reasons. But the main reason was that we were trying to get the green light to do an outdoor epic Technori Legends. And we got the green light.
Ooh,
yeah, it's going right. to be... No, this is legit. So if you've ever been to a Technori showcase, they're held at Chase Auditorium the last Tuesday of the month. This month, July, it's actually going to be August 1st, which is the first Tuesday of August. That comes after the 31st of July. So August 1st, not in July, but the July event is August 1st.
Okay.
And it's going to be outside along the Chicago River. We're looking at food trucks. We're looking at beer, which is awesome. We're looking at bringing back some of the best companies ever to be on stage at Technori. Spot Hero, Jimmy Odom, who's now at World Business Chicago. We're talking to him. He was We Deliver. We're talking to Genevieve Thiers, who's from Sitter City. We've been talking to Popular Pays, who was just on here. Corbett Drummy, who's on the show, to bring back the best companies ever. And of course, Seth Kravitz, the founder of Technori, should take the stage back. And we are going to be giving out an award for Technori Legend. It's going to be epic. The award, I have a picture of it. It's crystal. It's 20 pounds.
It's so pretty. Yeah, I saw
the photo of it. Oh my God, it's so cool. So this is one of those events. If you've never been to a Technori event, this is probably the one for you. I think we're going to get like 750 people at this event. The amount of money that it's going to cost to put this on, I will not say in the air because it makes me nervous just thinking about it. But it's going to be totally worth it. So I'm excited to announce that we are going to be pushing out information on that as soon as we get everything tied out. But August 1st, Technori Legends event, the first, I believe, the first event of a lifetime. We're going to have annual event every year, Technori Legends, if this goes well.
Nice. Feeling like a big shot, Scott. You got the keynote coming up, and you got the whole new showcase format.
No, I'm feeling incredibly overwhelmed, to be quite honest. Like, I literally feel like I'm drowning right now. But at any rate, when drowning, you need to dry off. So we're going to dry off for a second and take a break and come back here with Samia Pandey in 2 seconds here. So I'm Scott Catoon, and you've been listening to WGN AM 720. We are back here in studio with my friend Sean Freilich, and we are bringing in studio as well Sami Pandey.
You try. It's Samia Pandey, actually. I should do something about changing the way it's spelled, honestly.
No, I think you're fine.
We'll catch on.
Yeah, we'll catch on quickly. I'm just terrible at pretty much anything that has to do with reading and sounding out words.
Yeah, it's not you.
Yeah, no.
No, I mean, it's difficult for Americans to say it. So the way I explain it is just Sonia with an M. And I know people at home are going to hate me for saying this, but that's how you can pronounce my name.
Say it one more time so you get it.
Sonia with an M.
No, but say your actual name right.
Oh, Samia Pandey.
Samia Pandey. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
I'm just stupid.
No, you're fine. I mean, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, don't beat yourself up, Scott.
I can't help it. I make jokes about it, but it's like really like becoming a thing. Like I'm starting to like get inside my own head about it. But at any rate, you are one of the new directors of Women Who Code here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We also mentioned it before you came on the show that Anne Young was on the show, and we did a Women in Tech event for Capital One, Women in Tech and Men Who Men as Allies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of familiar with some of the females that are on that team, and I'm excited to have Women Who Code back in Chicago. It's been a big thing for years, and then it sort of disappeared for a little while, and now it's back. It seems like you guys are under new management, it seems to be. You've got new sponsors, from what it seems. So what I'd love to do from your end is to get sort of a, I don't know what's the best way to put this, a rundown of what it is, mm-hmm. what Women Who Code is,
mm-hmm.
and how it works, and how the female founders, as well as non-female founders, can take advantage of Women Who Code and the impact you'd like to see it have.
Sure thing. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course.
And thank you for inviting Anne, too. She's amazing. So Women Who Code is a global nonprofit that aims at inspiring young women or any women in tech to excel in their careers. And the vision that we have is that we want women to be proportionally represented in all divisions of an organization. Like we want them to be directors, executives, engineers, anything you can think of. So that's essentially what Women Who Code is. And like you said, they have a global presence. They had a presence in Chicago too. And for some reason, it just kind of, it was quiet for some time, and then we're planning to take it back on. We recently had a relaunch event with our co-directors and advisory panel and a few members, and we discussed how and what we want to do with the Chicago tech community. How we achieve this vision is by providing community support to people in terms of providing them skill set, different events like conferences and different resources almost, and just in general the community presence and talking about what you need it is to like grow in your careers. You know, that's basically the essence of it.
So how does a person, whether they're female or not,
mm-hmm.
How does a person engage Women Who Code? What is the mm-hmm. is the process like? So I mean, some of these places, like for example Women Tech Founders is based at, well, I guess Women Tech Founders and Miss Tech are based at 1871. The ways that they operate is like if you have a startup company and you want to be part of their WISDOM program, you join that, and mm-hmm. it's sort of an accelerator of sorts. Women Tech Founders is more of like a community organizing tool where you get in and you sort of help with other events, and mm-hmm. you don't learn something like per se like tangible. You don't go to learn how to code.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of like a general assembly thing.
Mm-hmm.
For your organization, how do people come out and use it and like actually participate?
Oh, that's a great question. So it's a combination of a lot of things. You can join online and become a community member. And the way you can benefit from being an online member is you get these newsletters called Code Reviews, which is like a weekly newsletter or a rundown of what has happened in the tech community. We do things like bring achieving women to forefront. We say something called hashtag applaud her, because we want to applaud women who are achieving great things in the field of technology. So this is how we kind of engage with users online. We make them aware of the opportunities they might have. We like things like conferences, scholarships, you know, so you just go through it and you're like, hey, this is something that's interesting. And then you might reach out to us and we may help you go to that conference, or we may help you go to that class. And like you said, it's necessarily not a boot camp where we teach like intensive coding lessons, but definitely it's a point where we do study groups and we do a little bit of workshop kind of a thing, because sometimes you need a little bit of introduction before you can commit to something like a boot camp. So we try to make sure that we do that too. So let's say a community members are saying, hey, we keep hearing about this machine learning stuff. Can we have like a little workshop about it and just kind of be introduced to the scope of it, you know? So we also do that. So this is like the and the way you join it is just you go there, you type in your name, you type in your email address, you get the Newsday weekletters. But in terms of being like participating physically, you just select the network that you are closest to. Like people in Chicago can join the Chicago community by going on Women Who Code Chicago. Or you can go through the homepage and look for the network. And we will make sure that we update you with local events and like the local, we keep you together as a local tech community. So this is how people can get involved. Another thing we do is it's not just about like the events or the workshop, but there are opportunities of leadership. Yep. What that means is like we enable you to come to the forefront and talk about what it is that you are doing or talk about what it is that you want to do and talk about other people, you know, like for example, me, I'm sitting here right now because Women Who Code, like people at Women Who Code trusted me to come here and talk about what I do and, you know, just kind of gain that confidence and like public speaking, a lot of it. So it's just a combination of everything that you might need to succeed in your career. And like we said, it's not just that we want to produce engineers with amazing coding skill. We want women to be represented in every aspect of entrepreneur or technical spectrum. And that involves, you know, developing these skills. So we make sure that we do a little bit of everything.
So I think you kind of hit on the head of a very important distinction. And we loosely talked about with Amy at Crosstalk and Sean and I talked about a little bit before you came on, is now that Chicago is sort of called the capital of women in tech, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. There is this constant, and we're certainly not helping the case, constant focus on female founders only, mm-hmm. and not women in tech, mm-hmm. not female engineers, not STEM. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of, it's not a mistake. I mean, you want to have advantages on every front. But I think we pay a lot more attention to female founders because it's like a startup and it's part of the startup world and it makes sense and it fits in and it's not inconvenient and blah, blah, blah. But one of the key components I touched on before you came on is the involvement of and young Capital One, mm-hmm. Of groups like Capital One that have invested a lot of time, money and effort and energy and resources to make this a big deal. Mm-hmm. And the reason I bring this up is this is about coding. This is about women who want to develop, mm-hmm. not about founders only. There could be founders in it, future founders for sure, mm-hmm. But this is more about developing young women, middle-aged women, older women, any women, and men who work with women to understand how to work better and be a better team. And the fact that this is headed up by people like yourself and you're, if I'm mistaken, a technical consultant at Infor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Anne Young at Capital One, and I'm missing this, you have two other ladies who are on your directorship, also at large companies. And it is a great tool from my vantage point to expose new women to coding to bigger businesses. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, one of the reasons that we're finding the success we are is because as fun as it is to be out in the wild west that is the startup world, the corporate world is sort of like our boundary system. Mm-hmm. They're the accountability mechanism that we have. Mm-hmm. And so we really need large organizations to get involved in this stuff as well. And that it's not just always about the kids in the backyard playing in the startup world.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I completely agree with what you said. And I think, and it's my personal belief that with the, you know, with time, as technology is kind of intruding into everything, there with time, I don't think there'll be a distinction between someone who's just an entrepreneur, yep. or someone who's just a founder and someone who's just a developer. Yep. You know, the lines are blurring so much. And one of the things that I spoke about at the relaunch event too is just the fact that, you know, and we're trying to break that image too, almost like, oh, so you are a computer scientist or a developer, so you're just going to be sitting at your computer and not doing anything else, or you're a founder, so you don't need to understand anything about technology. That's not true. We need everyone to be literate in it, and we need everyone to be talking about it. And like I said, I'm a technical consultant, so what I do is 50% talking to people who are in the business aspect and 50% like I'm developing. So there's this huge spectrum of opportunity in the technical field too. And like you said, it's amazing that the companies now are realizing that, like you wouldn't think a lot of these companies, you wouldn't think of them necessarily as technology companies, but now they have identified themselves as one. Like Capital One, when you think about it, it's like, okay, it's a bank, that's credit cards.
No, they call themselves a tech company.
Exactly. And one of the things, the like when I attended the Tech Week event at Capital One, that's what she said. Like now every company has to be a tech company. Yeah. You can't steer away from...
And that means that they have to be able to recruit, and they have to be able to not just recruit you to work for them, but want to shop and use Capital One. That's a, you know, I was just talking about this. I can't even remember. It was a blog post you were writing about the fact that, you know, you can name Steve Jobs is probably like the first, or I guess the first of the famous CEOs where no longer is it your job. In the past, you couldn't name all the CEOs of big companies. Now it's like a cool rock star thing. Like I'm the CEO of this tech company. And the reason is, because you've got you no longer are just like an inward thinking leader and you have to like work on the business mechanisms. You have to be a focal point to recruit people to want to work for you, with you, and use your tool, use your product.
Exactly.
And so the more that these organizations get involved with Women Who Code and other organizations like that, the faster I think that happens, the faster you get this like sort of like, wow, that's a cool company. That's a great culture. Like they get it. They get me. I want to work with them, or at least give it a try. And to your point about the sort of shift from everyone being a little bit entrepreneur, a little bit full-time, a little bit not. It's really interesting to me because, and Sean, I know that you've covered this on the feed a few times, and you've certainly experienced it with us working with the Capital Ones and the Salesforces and JLL and all these other good organizations that sponsor and work with Technori, is that Chicago, I personally think, one of the main reasons that we've found our stride now, you know, for a long time, we did great things. Since 2010, Technori's been around. It's been great. But it's only the last 18 months that we really hit that pie stride. And I think the reason we hit that stride was because we found ourselves and stopped trying to mimic the coast. We finally said, you know what? That's not who we are. We're not making the next cool dog dating app. Although we did have a really cool dog dating app on stage. It was awesome. But nonetheless, that's not our place. Our place is a lot of B2B, a lot of data, a lot of engineers who can create the future of commerce. And that involves working with all of these businesses, which Chicagoland has the most number of Fortune 500 to 1,000 companies in the country located in the nearest proximity. So it only makes sense that we start working with those companies. And therein lies the problem that's been circled, which is that the way that females are treated at the workplace, as well as in the tech community, and particularly in the funding in tech, what are we going to do to fix that? And there are organizations like Women Who Code who step up and basically make those organizations accountable.
Yeah. You made a great point about the fact that, you know, Chicago is its own ecosystem. And in fact, I was speaking to a journalist a few days ago, and the article, that's what I said. I was like, we don't want to be the Silicon Valley of the Midwest. You know, we're not that. This, you get a completely different vibe when you're in Chicago, when you interact with the companies. We have a different ecosystem. And one of the biggest part of what we do as Women Who Code is, like you said, just to make sure that the companies understand that they have an accountability towards this. And it's just not for the women. They need to understand that even for their products, even for their businesses, the more diversity they get, the better it's going to be for them. You know, it's just not about, like, if you think about, and I can quote a statistic on that. Someone did a research, I think it was NC WIT, that said if you involve more women, you get around 35% more return on investment.
Well, of course, it makes no sense to leave half the room out of the conversation.
Yeah.
But with that said, we do have to get rolling here and go to our news with Bob Kessler. But where do people go to learn more about Women Who Code?
So they can go on womenwhocode.com, and for Chicago specifically, womenwhocode.com/Chicago.
Very cool.
And they can follow us on Twitter, and they can subscribe to the code reviews, which is very important. It keeps them updated about what it is that we can offer them. And as specifically for Chicago, we are going to build up a huge presence on meetup.com, because we are coming up for the lineup of this year's event about what kind of things it is that our community wants. And we're going to be posting events. We're going to be sending invites. So just stay tuned for all the fun stuff.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Samia.
Wait a minute. Wait a turn, minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. I hope you got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger business. Talking bigger he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of he moves. Talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying, wait a minute. Wait turn, a minute. On turn on the radio.
I'm Scott Catoon, joined by The Feed's Sean Frelick. We're live at the Allstate Showcase Studio here at WGN Radio. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Yeah, thanks for again for having me on. It's been a while. I love the WGN studio. That was an interesting interview that we just had talking about the standout point for me beyond all the cool stuff with like getting women more visibility in the industry was the conversation about switching Chicago from this mindset of like, let's be like Silicon Valley to let's be our own thing. The Midwest has its own culture, obviously.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny. I mean, you get it though. Like you could see how, you know, we want that cool, sexy rock star kind of atmosphere that we had, or that you saw when you go to Silicon Valley, you go to like Disrupt or any of these conferences.
And obviously it's
like,
too much rock star.
Yeah. Too much rock star. You know, and the funny thing is, and this is true. I mean, I'm not going to name names.
No.
But I'll tell you this, that in the, let's call it 2011 to 13, 14, we had our fair share of discrimination issues here in Chicago's tech scene, and some of the major players in Chicago tech dealt with it. And I think that that probably was a result of us mimicking the behavior that we were seeing on the West Coast more so than the East, but even the East Coast. And some of it doesn't have to be like discriminatory. It can just be, you know, just maybe not as focused on the right things and things like that. But the fact that we found ourselves and decided we're gonna do us, I think, is a good thing, and it you're seeing it already because we just are building a culture that seems real. It feels real.
Yeah, you know. Speaking of, I'll switch gears here a little bit. We open up the show talking about Incubate Illinois, and excuse me for being a dummy, but I don't really know much about Incubate Illinois.
Yeah, it's not like I'm speaking at it or anything. I'll be. Ironically enough,
yes,
this
you
is
are.
It's just funny. You should know something about this for a multitude of reasons. Not only am I speaking on this, but Fred Hoke, the CEO, co-CEO of TechNexus, is the other speaker.
Oh, okay.
So we office at TechNexus, which is 20 North Wacker, the Civic Opera House. And Fred Hoke, who is one of the co-founders of that in the ITA, is the first keynote, and on the second one. What it is Freeborn Partners, Freeborn Peters, I believe. And I think on the show, one of the first guests we had, Anthony Zioli, who's an attorney there, was on the show talking about this and sort of that they were trying to get it going again. This is their second year. And essentially what's going on is whether you know, obviously there's a lot of news about the budget and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the city treasurer, Kurt Summers, as well as the governor, the governor Rauner, but like the governor of Illinois and the state of Illinois are going to invest up to $200 million into Illinois companies. And there's a lot of questions and reasonable concerns as to like, how does that money get dispersed and what's that going to mean? And if we don't have any money to pay for teachers, how are we paying money for random companies? And what does this mean? And the truth of the matter is, every year we invest tens, hundreds of millions, and this is just Illinois and Chicago and many other states, in companies outside of the state, outside of the city, and outside of the country. And that's a good thing because you need a balance. You don't want to put all your money in one bag because then when someone rips off the bag, that's the end of it. But we don't really invest that much in our own stuff. And the funniest part is Chicago is now one of the third, fourth, fifth, depends on what list you're looking at, fastest, largest startup community in the country, some say in the world. And why would you not invest money in that when those companies are right here in front of you?
So what's Incubate Illinois going to do in regards to this?
So that's exactly it. It's going to answer some of those questions. It's going to talk. It's going to bring a conversation to a point where people can actually say and ask the right questions to their reps, to the city, to the people in the city and state level that are doling out this cash. If you're a venture capitalist or you are an investor and you want to get involved in this, this is a place for you to go find out how. There's going to be several panels, including people from the office of City Treasurer Kurt Summers' office, who's been a great friend of us. Our friend George Vukotic.
Oh, yeah.
Good old George.
FinTank,
who's going to be speaking as well and talking about the fact that FinTech, usually reserved for New York City as its like capital,
right,
is actually picking up a lot of steam here in Chicago. So you're going to learn a lot about that and what the impact is. And I guess, again, it comes back to where is this money going to go and how do you get it and what is the outcome going to be? And so we're going to have panel discussions there on early stage companies, talking about bridging the gap between idea and reality and how to pay for it. Former Technori company Lisa Carroll, co-founder of Proxfinity, is going to be on there. Discussion on how to actually use the $220 million on the Innovation Fund. How can you participate? We're going to have people from the Office of Public Pension Capital, Windpoint Partners, who's participating in this investment fund, and Chris McCrory, who is the vice president of 50 South Capital, who's a big part of this whole puzzle. And then me. I'm going to talk.
You're in the fold.
Then I fold myself in there somehow.
You're right.
Some guy. who I'm talking about crowdfunding and the impact of crowdfunding enabling people to actually invest in the same thing. So let's say the city of Chicago or somewhere else decides that they want to invest money in all of these companies. I too, as a citizen, can piggyback that in crowdfunding campaigns. And so I'm going to talk to people a little bit about the importance of crowdfunding and the fact that if you're thinking of your son or daughter's crowdfunding campaign on Kickstarter, this is different. You get a sticker too, but you also get equity. And we work with Republic, which is a New York-based crowdfunding platform. And so ultimately, Incubate Illinois is about education. The conference, it's only its second conference, so it's still kind of finding out who it is.
Yeah.
But Incubate Illinois this year on Wednesday, and I just posted the link on Twitter, so you can go to @technoria on Twitter and find it. It's a great opportunity if you know nothing about this. If you saw that pass by on the Tribune and you don't know anything about it, it's a good place to go, which we're going to go to break in a little bit here, but I want to segue into our next conversation, which is talking about the future of media. So speaking of the future of media with Incubate Illinois, I just mentioned that you can go to these events to learn more. The future of media, I think, is going to end up being where you go to Twitter to find out about cool events, to meet people and find out different sources of news, because you can no longer depend, whether you like it or not, on just, you know, USA Today and Tribune and whatever, because they send you a piece of information like there's an innovation fund for $220 million we're spending in Illinois. And with it, there's no information about how to use it. There's no information other than a fact. Like, yes, that is true.
Yeah. Good starting point.
Yeah, it's a great starting point, but like you don't walk away informed.
Right.
There's nothing you can do with that. And I think one of the major problems with news now is we're in such a connected world that we have this sort of natural inclination to, when we see news, to just share it. We don't read it.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the clicks and plays on our videos and shows, it's not that we don't produce awesome shows, because you know we do, but people share it. We get a ton of engagement. And I go look at the plays and it's like they listen to 3 minutes of a 20-minute show. Like, you missed everything. It was only because we wrote a really catchy headline and then it got clicked on and then they shared it. Well, at some point, you've got to continue the conversation, right?
Right.
And so the things like Incubate Illinois, I think, are similar to Technori Showcase. It's a place for you to caught a headline, didn't know anything about the tech community, saw it on Tribune that so-and-so raised $30 million. That's a lot of money. I wonder what that means. Then they go on Facebook and they see Technori posts that person's on there in the interview. And in the interview, he says, you know, I raised this $30 million because we're going to hire 100 people. Wow. Oh, wow. They're going to hire 100. Now I'm thinking, like, my son needs a job. My daughter needs a job. So maybe I can go there and learn a little more about how to get them a job. And then they go to the showcase and they meet the founder and maybe get their son or daughter a job. We're going to be changing the way that we interact with news and media as a whole.
Yeah, it sounds like the point that you're drawing out here is that no longer is reading an article just reading an article, where it should be like a 2-3-step process, which I think we do at Technori, where it's you get engaged with something, and often, like, my approach is to use humor to pull people in, and then they get some knowledge on some information, but then there's this follow-up of like, hey, we have the Technori Showcase, and then there's all these other popping up events where there's actually this avenue for action that is there waiting for you on the other end beyond just reading your article or watching your silly video. And it doesn't have to be a silly video, but your informational content.
100%. And I think where that really goes is the simple fact that people, you know, I say people, millennials and younger.
Millennials. Yeah.
We read more than anyone on earth, but we read less than anyone on earth. If that makes sense. We
right.
don't read anything. We don't read books. We don't read articles. We don't read, like, you know, we just had Jonathan Eigen, who's a New York Times bestselling author multiple times over, and he launched in Chicago what I thought was going to be a very cool sports platform called Chicago Side, and it flopped because it was long form, and he missed the boat that all of us our age, like, even though we think it's cool and I love Derek Jeter, I'm not going to read a piece that's over like 30 seconds. And you're seeing it now when you go to Medium and other sites that tell you like how long this read might take. That's not a good sign. When it has to tell you, like, hey, you clicked on this article, it could take you 4 minutes and 35 seconds to read this.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing is that I'm getting a lot more information, but I really have to push myself in order to, like, get in depth with something and to, like, spend time with something and for it to not feel like homework. So, I mean, it is a challenge just to be inundated with this mountain of content that's out there, and it's so difficult even for us to poke through the veil and to get people to notice what you're doing.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break here and we're going to come back, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, and talk with the audience here about some of the tricks that are going on and how to use the new way of media to remain informed and not get kind of sidetracked.
Sounds good to me.
I think so too. This is Sean Froelich. I'm Scott Catoon. You're listening to WGN Radio, AM 720. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. We are sitting here with Sean Froelich, and we were just sort of teasing you with some conversation about what exactly goes into writing headlines and learning and news, and how we've kind of gotten ourselves into a little bit of a, well, I'll leave it to you guys out there in the audience to figure out what we've gotten ourselves into.
A learning moment.
We are in a learning, the nation is in crisis. We're in a learning moment. It's like Emerson Smart said on stage this month, you have to learn how to learn. And I think with the new form of media and the new way of sharing everything on Twitter, which is and is not a good thing, we need to learn how to learn again.
Right.
And I think that we're going to talk a little bit about that. I mean, there was a piece, and this is where all the people at WGN are holding the panic button on my mic, a piece that came out by Robert Fetter about this Sinclair acquisition or proposed acquisition of Tribune Media. And if you look at what Sinclair has been doing, it does not mean it's going to happen here, but it's been historically, they seem to be siding a little bit right. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just when you have something that has a bias to it, it becomes a challenge for people to understand what is news, what is not, what is important, what is not, what is, you know, we're conditioned on Facebook to want to like things, right? Everything is about likes and retweets. So what do we do? I know that old Zuckerberg put a thumbs down kind of sad face, angry face button on our like, but it's all still about likes. And what do we do when we see something that we don't agree with?
Right.
We ignore it.
Yeah.
We just talked about the women, 30% of the female founded or companies founded in Chicagoland are female founded. And that's a great news piece, but did we all read it? Did we read all the details, the nitty gritty? I know I just shared it. What does that mean?
Yeah, like we were talking about, it raises a lot of questions, like who did the study? What is their benchmark for what is considered a startup? And we're not like beating up on this article. It's just it's about the state of media as a whole.
Yeah.
Where,
and it's the state of the audience, right? Because it used to be a responsibility of you, the journalist, Sean, to write the piece, do the due diligence. And I would, of course, do the honor of reading the whole piece.
Yeah.
Instead, what's happening is I'm only sharing what I like. And the people who like me and like what I like are put into this little echo chamber, and we just keep kicking back and forth what we like. And if you're Republican side, it's that. If you're Democrat side, it's that. If it doesn't even have to be political, it's just if you're tech, it's this. If you're old fashioned, it's that. You know, old Buffalo kid, it's all relative. But what happened is media has gone so fast. It's outpaced even the companies who are producing the majority of the media that goes out, Tribune being one of them. And you get in these situations where you're listening to shows, you're watching TV, you're watching things, you know, kittens dancing and babies on YouTube, and you're sharing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're texting and you're tweeting and all these things. And we got away from this point where we read more than the headline. And so a little trick that I'm going to kind of walk you through here is like to know whether or not this is a real thing. Like just pull out your phone. I'm going to make friends with Yahoo right now, I guess Verizon. Pull out your phone and click on Yahoo and start scrolling down. And look at all the different things that pop up, whether it's, you know, so sponsored underneath it, but it's got the best catchy headline. You click on, like, oh, what is Kim Kardashian doing? And you click on it, it takes you off into some crazy new site. We are sharing those things as if they're brand news, as if they're actual news, because we don't click on it and look. We just quickly share it. And what ends up happening is you memorize headlines, and now you think you're, you know, a star. You think that you're a genius because you know all of these facts, but you don't realize where they actually came from because we don't take that extra step to get involved.
Yeah, a rule I have for myself is if I'm going to share an article, I best be prepared to answer like 2 to 3 questions about that article because I don't want to be caught being a know-nothing after I share something. So that's a personal rule.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. But if you post something and someone starts asking you questions, you're just going to get exposed as a headline share.
Especially if it says something, you know, bad in the end. Like I sent you the article today and the headline actually made it seem like it was good. And then you open it, it was like, ooh, that's not good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with that said though, here's the problem. One, there's not enough views out there. But two, And I'm sure your mother would agree, there's not enough Sean's out there. But the other thing is that you can count on one thing, sadly, and that is that the majority of those people are going to share it without reading it either.
Right.
So you're never going to be held accountable.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, we depend on those people sharing our stuff, even if they're not really reading it, because we need more eyeballs.
Yep. Well, so, okay. So with that, we're going to pivot to a great headline and an example of one way that people can learn a little bit more and get the opportunity, if they like what you're going to read, to dig deeper in these topics that maybe they don't know. So with that said, I'm going to kick it over to Sean for the feed, and he's going to wow us and entertain us.
Yes.
Sean, take it away.
All right. So I teased you folks at the beginning of the show talking about a famous CEO from across the sea who was cast in shade. I'm talking, of course, of Alibaba founder Jack Ma. Do you ever use Alibaba, Scott?
No, but I love Jack Ma.
Yeah, Jack Ma is a real character. And he said some things that may not be shocking, but at a recent conference, he called out the United States of America for not investing in its people enough. He argued that the United States has spent far too much money on both war and Wall Street. And, you know, I think Jack has some room to talk. He founded Alibaba in 1999, and it is currently the largest company in Asia. It's worth $360 billion. And if you don't know, Alibaba is an online marketplace similar to Amazon. But one other thing I want to touch on with Jack, I talked about how he's a bit of a character. He talked about Forrest Gump, which, of course, we all love Forrest Gump. And he talked about one of the biggest lessons that you can take away from that movie is when Forrest and Bubba started their shrimp boat. They weren't chasing whales. They were chasing shrimp. So keep that in mind when you're developing a new idea, going for a new project. Don't go after Moby Dick. I mean, come on now. Just go after the shrimp. Think small, be humble, as Kendrick Lamar says, and keep going for it. And we're going to stick to China a little bit more here. President Trump, world leader Trump, if that term has grown comfortable to you at this point, I don't know. But they were talking, well, Trump always says how China's eating our lunch. And this is another way that maybe they are eating our lunch. I'm talking about Volvo. Volvo is owned by Chinese auto manufacturer Geely. Volvo announced that they will have all of their models be either fully electric or hybrid by 2019. And they're doing this because Tesla is moving the market in that direction. And Volvo wants to be competitive with them. They see the market as a whole potentially going towards electric because regulations for carbon emissions and rising costs of traditional car making might take us to a tipping point where electric is commonplace. So here's the thing. How much would you expect to pay for an electric car? Well, the newest Tesla model, which is coming out, which can fit the whole family, hear that, kiddos? It will be worth $35,000. So that's just something to keep in your back pocket as the auto industry goes forward. Maybe both electric, maybe both automated driving cars. It's the future, baby. This is where we are. Okay, so I always end these with a Technori shout out, and this time I want to give it to Sapphire Apps. And this is the
another
story.
Another Ma.
Yes. Yeah, we're sticking to Ma's. This is the story of hustle, people. The duo behind Sapphire Apps is Thomas Ma and Anish Dalal. And they started off at UIC working at Starbucks, and Thomas was literally cleaning toenails in order to make enough money. So what they do specifically is they make emojis for the biggest stars like Lindsay Lohan, Scott Catoon, and you know, they did it by hustling. Just go out there, annoy people. Don't be afraid to annoy, and they're doing pretty well nowadays. So that's the lesson from them. Go out there and annoy people. So that's it for the headlines. And just so you know, we do a full video show every Monday night. Find it on technori.com. I would love if you could watch it.
Very cool. Sean, thank you so much for the feed.
Thanks for having me in again,
of course,
Scott.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming in here and joining me on the show.
Oh, yes.
You can stream this episode and more on WGNRadio.com, download the Technori podcast on iTunes, and to learn more about Chicago Tech, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Catoon, or follow Sean at Freilich Sean. Boom, that's a wrap.